You're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio on the Micro Effect Radio Network. This is Raylan Allen, and my guest today is John DiNardo. He's back for part two, and maybe we're even going to have him back for part three, four, five, and six. John has been studying the Planet X myth, legend, or is it reality? John is a engineer and a physicist. He's a teacher. He's going to discuss today Planet X, Earth changes, climate change, the ice age that may be coming, and the globalist plots for population reduction and more. And what does Bill Gates have? Where is he hiding it? And why did he buy a shipbuilding yard? So welcome, John. And how does Bill Gates figure into Planet X?
Hello, Ray Ellen. It's a pleasure being with you and your audience. Now, you mentioned Bill Gates. I had just emailed you a link to Marshall Masters' presentation on Planet X. He has a whole website with a tremendous amount of information, all focused on Planet X.
Yes, absolutely.
And he was mentioning, as you had alluded to, that Bill Gates has put a tremendous amount of money into shipbuilding, and I didn't have time to listen to the entire portion of that YouTube soundtrack. Were you interested in playing that or?
No, unfortunately, we can't do things like that on the spur of the moment. Because they have to be. You know, I have to turn them into a sound file and upload them, and then transfer that over to the radio station, and so in the time that I saw your email with that, there just wasn't any time to do it. We ran out of time. Probably takes about a half hour, and I only had 15 minutes.
I see. You know what I do? I just put my telephone right up to the computer speakers.
Oh, boy, I'm not sure that would work. And also, one of the other things, he's got so much music in it where he's showing pictures that we would lose the audience because all they would be hearing is Anchors Away for about a minute.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and so that sort of thing wouldn't work unless I edited it. And I could edit it and maybe play it the next time. But I did send it over. Right at the moment, I can't even get on my own website. I have no idea what is wrong with it, you know, whether it's something going on in my area. You know that we have a sabotage of our fiber optic lines.
Yeah,
I don't know if I told you about them.
Right.
But the five fiber optic cables in San Jose, California were cut, and it knocked out all DSL, all long distance, all cell phones in two counties. One of the counties has all of Silicon Valley. The second county is where I live, and it has all of the people who work in Silicon Valley. They live here in, you know, by the ocean in beautiful Santa Cruz County. And so I just have a feeling. Well, also the fact that the major media did not cover this cable outage. So I have a feeling that something major was supposed to have gone down last Thursday or maybe did go down last Thursday. But anyway, that's neither here nor there right at the moment. So, John, the last time you were on, you said that you wanted to come back to give an entire list of all of the things, both in the religious side and in the scientific side, that absolutely make you believe that Planet X is absolute reality. And one of the articles that you sent me was from a Catholic journal, and it was about the Pope. Shall we start off with that one?
Yes. I'm trying to recall. I do have the old article. I read it a long time ago, and I emailed it to you just a while ago without really looking closely at it. But as I recall, it was Pope John Paul II, was it not?
Yes, it was Pope John Paul II in Fulda, Germany in 1980. Do you want me to read
it? He's been around. I didn't realize he was in office that long. But, yeah, this was before P2. tried to assassinate him, or maybe try to silence him.
And for people who don't know who for people who don't remember P2, can you tell us who P2 is?
Propaganda Due, which is an arm of the, I guess it would be the European intelligence related to the Bilderbergers, the power elite. It's sort of parallel, runs parallel to the CIA, does it not?
And it also has a strong connection with the Masons.
That's right, that's it. And, incidentally, I'm hearing my echo of my voice in the background. I'll try to disregard it, but is there a way that they can reduce that echo?
And believe it or not, John, I am hearing so much static in my background that I can barely hear you. So I'm asking the radio station now if there is anything that can be done. And is the echo going out over the air, and is my static going out over the air? And so we will get an answer from... No, neither my static or your echo. So if you can ignore your echo, I'll ignore my static. How's that sound?
Okay, I'll try. It's confusing because as you're talking, you hear your voice coming back to you, and your words sort of get confused a bit. But okay.
Maybe what I'll ask I will ask the radio people at the first break that we come to hang up on both of us and call us both back, because somehow we've both got horrible, horrible connections this time.
Good idea.
But let me, but since it's not coming out, it just stopped for me. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I think mine sounds better, too. Okay, we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Anyway, the Pope was at a meeting of high-level Catholic clerics back around 1980, and he was asked about the secret of Fatima, the third secret of Fatima, which had never been revealed and was supposed to have been revealed in 1960. And we'll get to that in a minute, why it was not. But anyway, he was asked about the third secret and what did he know about it. And he said, well, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it and condense what he said. He said, if I were to give you a message that stated that the oceans would spill out of their basins and in a matter of minutes, many millions of people would be killed, would that be considered a responsible statement for me to make? And that was essentially what he said.
But, you know, there's another thing in there. By the way, for all of our listeners, one of my assistants is posting this on Rumor Mill News, and it'll be posted underneath the introduction to John and this radio program. And I don't even know if my own website is up or not, because I cannot gain access to it. But anyway, let me.
You're posting that article.
Yeah, we're posting that. It'll be up. If our website is up, the article will be up. My website's not supposed to go down, by the way. I just increased it to a huge server, and we're literally supposed to get a million hits at one time without us ever going down. And when I was on Coast to Coast last week, we did get a million hits, and it slowed us down because all of those people were downloading the free prosperity meditation that I gave away to the Coast listeners or to anyone else that wants to go there and download it. And in case you missed it, go to raylan.com, Raylan, R-A-Y-E-L-A-N.com, and look for the prosperity meditation. Go there, and then at the top of that page, you will see the download.
Okay, I'd be very interested in seeing that.
Yeah, it's actually a Templar meditation that one of these days, I'm going to do an entire radio show about it. I started off working in Manly Hall's private library, if you can believe it, down at the Philosophical Research Society.
That's amazing.
You have to literally have an invitation to even go into that building. And my mentor at the time, a 93-year-old archbishop in the Church of Antioch, taught Manly Hall when Manly was 16 and Warren was 20. And so they've been friends forever, and that's how I got my entry into there. And I knew, you know, from 1986, I knew it was a Templar meditation, but the Archbishop said, no, you cannot tell anybody that it is a Templar meditation. And then when my husband Gunther and I went to Austria, I met with the Austrian Templars, who say that they are the real Templars descended from, you know, the original Templars, not all of these fake ones that, you know, Hitler created and Maurice Strong created and all of these fake Templar orders. And I was given permission by them to call it a Templar meditation, not the Templar prosperity meditation, because he said there are many of them, and the rest will be released at a later date. So anyway, that's kind of interesting. But
it sure is.
I want to talk about I want to read what Pope John Paul said, because it just absolutely is mind-boggling.
Right. He said his statement was terse, but he did say that if I were to reveal the third secret of Fatima, and we'll get into what that's all about.
Okay, but I want to read this one. Let me just read this one, John, because this is the one that boggles my mind. Given the seriousness of the contents, my predecessors in the Petrine office diplomatically preferred to postpone publication so as to not encourage the world power of communism to make certain moves.
Well, that's disinformation from the Pope himself. And I'll tell you the real story behind that.
So that is disinformation.
Well, yeah, from what I know, what happened was this. Now, this is the first time ever that I'm revealing this, and I was a little bit hesitant about revealing it, but I received a letter several months back from some people. They claimed there was a group. They claimed that the return address on the letter was phony, and they were sending it to me in order to maintain absolute anonymity, secrecy. But they claimed that they were a group of mid-level Catholic clergymen, and they had information as to the death of Pope Pius XII. Now, he died before 1960. I have to go back and research when he actually died, but it was before 1960. Now, in the 1950s, the Catholics of the world were in, there was sort of a fervor, a Fatima fervor among the Catholics of the world in the 1950s, because the three secrets of Fatima, the third secret of Fatima, was supposed to have been released. According to the three girls who saw this vision in 1917 in Fatima, Portugal, and instructions were given to release it, and it was highly public that this would be 1960 would be the release period for this third secret. Well, this information I got from these people is that when Pope Pius XII opened the secret and he read it in the 1950s, late 1950s, I believe.
Yes, he died in 58.
He died in 58?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he probably died shortly after he opened this letter.
Okay.
He opened it in the presence of Cardinal Ottaviani, that's O-T-T-A, V as in Victor, I-A-N-I, Cardinal Ottaviani and Cardinal Strich. Strich. He also opened it in the presence of his private secretary, the priest Father Richard Hughes, H-E-W-E-S. The Pope died. He wept bitterly for 2 weeks. He was said to have wept bitterly. Now, where they got this information, it was probably from one of these confidants or the people around him, you know, the nuns and people who, served him. He wept bitterly for 2 weeks after reading this letter, Third Secret of Fatima. And then shortly after he died, Cardinal Ottaviani died, Cardinal Strich died, and Father Hughes died. Now, we could check find out when these two cardinals died. Maybe there's records somewhere on the Internet.
Yes, it probably is.
But it sure looks, I mean, we don't know that they were murdered, but, you know, circumstantial statistical evidence, the statistics itself would indicate that there was foul play, because you know, you just don't have that many people dying around the same time, coincidentally. Then another thing is, Sister Lucia, which was a surviving girl, she had become a nun. She had witnessed the vision of Fatima, where they spoke with this angel that visited them and gave them information about the future. Well, this Sister Lucia had become a nun, and what happened was, they tell me in this letter that she was not the actual Sister Lucia. They have photographic evidence. They did not show me any photographs at all, but they have photographic evidence that this woman who was posing as Sister Lucia was not Sister Lucia. And that that was 1948, I believe. The false one was the one who was publicized to be the true Sister Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
But then, some years later, there was another one. I guess Sister Lucia died. Somehow she somehow was gone, and then the pictures that were publicly produced of Sister Lucia was someone different other than the first one. And then they came along with that second one, from what I was told now in this letter. This one, second one, rebelled, sort of, and refused to continue this impersonation, this falsification. And then they got a third one. So, and all the photographic evidence absolutely indicates that it's not the same one. So maybe we can find
photographs
of the real Sister Lucia.
John, hold on to where you are of the folk Sister Lucia. We'll be right back. You're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio on the Micro Effect Radio Network. We're talking to John DiNardo, and we're talking about what Pope Paul knew. And we'll be back. You're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio. This is Raylan Allen. I'm talking with John DiNardo, and we are talking about what Pope Paul, our Pope Paul II, that died just shortly before Pope Benedict was put in, what he wrote back in 1980 about the third prophecy of Fatima. And now we're finding out that there were fake Sister Lucias. So, please, go ahead, John.
Well, that's the essence of this message that I received, and I was told to destroy this letter, not make any copies of it. So everything I'm telling you is by recollection. It was rather brief, and I stated everything that I had gotten. And, well, there's other evidence that we have seen just now. We have seen the case where it was recorded in this German magazine. Can't pronounce the name, but it's De Glaubens, something like that. And in 1980, when the Pope was questioned about the third secret of Fatima, and he did essentially spill the beans. He said, well, if I were to tell you that the oceans are going to spill out of their bases, and in a matter of minutes, millions and millions of people will be killed, that would be irresponsible. And so that's, we have confirmation of what I got, this message I got from what these people claim to be third level, medium level or mid-level Catholic clergymen, seems to confirm what we heard from the Pope when he inadvertently let slip this information about the third secret of Fatima. Then we have the case where there's photographic evidence that I was told. I have not checked out the photographs, but I would imagine that we can do it. That people who are sincerely interested in pursuing this can get photographs, old photographs of Sister Lucia. I'm sure there must have been photographs of her taken in the 19, well, she was a little girl when she saw this vision. She and her other sisters, I believe, in Fatima, Portugal. The angel came to her and gave her this information about the end of the world.
We can get
photographs of the 1920s, 1930s, and actual photographs, and then compare them with the photographs that were published during, say, 1948, I think, and beyond, when she was cloistered at the convent in Coimbra, and see if it's the same person. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to do. Then we could find out, what is this lie? What did they do to this girl? Did they murder her because she might talk about, what, the third secret? I mean, you know how they operate. You could take somebody in intelligence, in the intelligence community, an agent, an operative who has been trusted for many years, and if he's got information that even if there's a slim possibility that this person may be tortured or may talk in some way, they'll kill that agent.
Huh.
Even though that agent is totally is thoroughly trustworthy. Now, imagine what they would do with a girl, a little girl who is not even an agent. She could become a loose cannon and start talking.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I would imagine that's what happened to Sister Lucia. And then they carried on. Why didn't they just something happened to her? She died of a disease. They could have done just like they did with, other people who have supposedly died of cancer. But
well,
no, they carried on this charade of a girl, of a woman.
Now, do you think that Pope Pius the 12th actually had a hand in all of this?
I don't think so, because from this message I got, he wept bitterly for 2 weeks and then he died. So I think he was. It could have been. I mean, we could speculate that he thought it was best. He figured, well, maybe. I mean, this is a wild speculation, so I have no idea. But suppose he thought to himself, well, we can't tell the world about this. What good would it do? We
right.
can only tell people to pray to God. Well, that would be a worthwhile approach to take, to tell everybody to pray. But if you told them publicly, this would be coming from the greatest, most authoritative religious leader in the world, to tell the world, hey, look, something catastrophic is going to happen in about 40 years, so you better start praying now. They wouldn't do it.
No,
if they were really
no.
true to God, they would do it. But because they're politically minded, they're not going to upset the stock market. They're not
right.
going to upset the U.S. power structure or the British power structure or any of the power structures, the economic standards and prosperity of the world with this devastating information that will cause people to change their investments, change their whole lives, change their spending habits.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We would all be doing what the Austrians are doing and digging, underground places for us to survive this. John, I want to point out a couple of things about Pope Pius the 12th that people need to know. He was the Pope during the war. He became Pope in 1939. But before he was the Pope, he was the Cardinal to Bavaria. Now, why do I think this is important? Because the Pope that we have right now is from Bavaria. He is the first Bavarian Pope ever.
Well, that shows that the Illuminati has their hand in this thing.
Well, maybe. Maybe, but maybe not.
That's where they originated. That's the birthplace of the Illuminati.
Yes, but it was also the birthplace of the people who blew the whistle on the Illuminati. The king of Bavaria is the one that stopped the Illuminati from taking over Europe in 1776.
Oh, that's a good point.
If it had not been for the king of Bavaria, and that is why I believe that the Illuminati hates Germany and hates Austria, we would have been underneath their boot since 1776. And so in my opinion, if this pope was in Bavaria, he probably is learning from the Bavarians who remain true to the king of Bavaria.
That's, I mean, that's something to be explored for more information to get an idea as to that theory, to try to determine its correctness.
At Rumor Mill News, we've been doing an in-depth analysis of Pope Benedict, and he named himself after the Benedictine Order. The Benedictine Order in Strasbourg, France, where Obama just visited and gave this lecture in Strasbourg, France. I mean, why Strasbourg? It's a little nothing out of nowhere. But I will be right back finishing my thought about Strasbourg. You're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio on the Micro ESET Radio Network. This is Raylan, and I'm talking with John DiNardo about Planet X. We're talking with John DiNardo, and we are talking about Planet X. We're talking about the role the popes have had. We're talking about the Fatima prophecy. And I just wanted to tell John a little bit about Pope Benedict, the current pope, and the work that we at Rumor Mill News have done on him through his symbols and through the choice of the name that he took. Now, just this week, President Obama was in Strasbourg, France, or maybe it was last week. Strasbourg, France is where the remnants of the Knights Templars, who were destroyed at the end of the 12th century, they were harbored and given safe refuge in the Benedictine monastery in Strasbourg, France, not Strasbourg, Germany. There is a Strasbourg, Germany. Now, the other thing about this particular pope, he has a picture on his crest of a black king, a black man wearing a crown. This is a reference to the African kings, the Lion Kings, the Lion Kings who are the descendants of the House of David, of which Haile Selassie is supposed to be one, or is one, because he can trace his birth, his lineage, all the way back to Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. Now, why this is important is there are many people who have done research on Barack Obama, and they believe that he is of the lineage of these African kings, that his father, the elder Obama, is not his father. And interestingly enough, there are people who believe that President Obama's grandfather, Stanley Dunham, worked for the Abwehr in World War II. The Abwehr's head was Admiral Wilhelm Canaris, who was from Bavaria. And he was royalty from Bavaria. And so I believe that he also was trained in the King of Bavaria school preventing the Illuminati from coming to power. But I think that Pope Benedict is a Templar. And if you look at his coin, he has the Templar cross on it, which is what the Benedictine monks used as their symbol, the Templar cross.
Well, I believe it seems highly credible, all the things you're saying, because the way these people operate is that they are, especially at what this point now, which is becoming obvious to all scholars that we're reaching the end of the world.
Yes.
At this point, they want to install, and I've heard this from others, they want to install someone in the position of world leader, one world government leader, who is genetically in the descended from the tribe of Judah, of Israel, from which the Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus of Nazareth, was descended. However, you know, he's God and it doesn't really belong to any tribe. But in their thinking, they want to install someone to take the place of Jesus Christ. This is the whole purpose of their plans for many decades, centuries, in fact.
It is amazing that, you see, I didn't know that. You know, I had no idea.
The purpose is to have somebody, because the Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, will say that man, Jesus of Nazareth, was born of the tribe of Judah. And, you know, throughout history, he has been declared to be the Son of God and the rightful ruler of mankind. So now what we have is interlopers, people under demonic influences. Now, this is a spiritual battle. If you look deeply into this, you will see actual invisible spiritual forces that are contending against Jesus to try to take the rulership, but they have to follow the same rules. Therefore, they have to have someone who is descended from the Lion of Judah. And you're absolutely right. It's the lion is the symbol. Because in the Bible, the book of Revelation, when Jesus ascends to heaven, that sits on the right hand of God the Father, in Revelation chapter 3, 4, I think it's chapter 4, he's called the Lion of Judah. So now we've got another line of Judah who is going to take that script and run with it.
Well, it is
you're saying.
What is most interesting is all of this information that is rising up from a man who I believe is a credible scholar that associates Barack Obama's grandfather with the intelligence community, but not just any intelligence community, with the man that I was told was heading up the faction that was going to destroy the New World Order. And so it's quite amazing, the information that is coming out about Barack Obama. And then when you add that, you know, in other words, Barack Obama's grandfather's mentor would have been Bavarian. This Pope is Bavarian. And so it just, pardon?
You had mentioned, too, a couple centuries ago, the King of Bavaria was the one who stymied the advance of the Freemasons, the Illuminati.
Yes.
That's right. Here you have a historical opponent of the Illuminati going back to the King of Bavaria, and now you have the modern-day ruler of Bavaria perhaps carrying on the same role.
Right, and that would be the Pope, because he is Bavarian. There's another thing that you need to factor in here. The royal family of Bavaria, they haven't been allowed to use the name King, and so I think it's Archduke that they are called. The Archduke, who died in 1996, Albert, had three children. His daughter, Sophie, was referred to as the true Queen of England. Just a few months ago, England passed a law rescinding the law that King Henry VIII put in, saying that no Catholic shall ever sit on the throne of England. Okay, Catholics can now sit on the throne of England. Therefore, the King of Bavaria, and remember, he's not allowed to use the title. He's Duke or Archduke Franz, the son of King Albert. That is the true King of England. He's the Stuart King. He's the Merovingian King.
Well, I believe you're probably correct. I mean, I've heard information to this effect, and also, which is pretty well known also, that the current king and queen of England, well, the current queen of England, is actually descended from German interlopers.
Yes, that's true.
King of Germany and took the throne. Now, maybe is that the same family, or?
No, it's a totally different family.
Okay, so these are.
And those are not Stuarts.
They're imposters.
That's correct. And interestingly enough, Princess Diana was a Stuart. Therefore, her son William is a Stuart. Therefore, he's a legitimate heir to the throne.
That's why Charles had to marry or needed to marry her, because he needed to get the illegitimate bloodline.
Yes,
in there, and then she was, of course, done away with.
And it's kind of funny because we're talking about this and we don't really understand what this has to do with Planet X.
Well, it does. You know, all this information converges in a big tangled web.
Mm-hmm.
I want to add one more thing to your puzzle pieces. We have a bunch of jigsaw puzzle pieces here that you've strewn all over the living room floor, and we're excitedly putting them together.
That's exactly right.
I've got a couple more, and that is, you know, this idea of the true, they have to follow the rules and try to supplant the rightful heir, which is Jesus, who it claims he's coming back, but he's coming back as God, as the Messiah, not as a flesh and blood man.
Right.
Now, they have to try to, there are forces that are contending against him to try to take his place, but they have to follow the same rules. They have to have someone from the tribe of Judah. But this is bloodline Judah, whereas the Lord Jesus is spiritual. He was bloodline Judah as a man when he walked this earth, but now he's spiritual, you know, and the people who are called Jews today, he calls in the Bible, after the crucifixion, he calls Jews those who are his true believers. So we are spiritual. I'm a spiritual Jew.
Hold that thought. hold that thought on the Jews as true believers, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio on the Micro Effect Radio Network. I'm talking with John DiNardo, and we will get to Planet X. I promise. You're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio on the Micro Effect Radio Network. This is Raylan Allen. I'm talking with John DiNardo. We're talking about Planet X, but we've gone in a circular direction going back to Pope Pius the 12th, who, interestingly enough, was canonized Pope Pius the 10th. That's kind of interesting. I haven't figured that one out yet. But we're in Bavaria. We're talking about Bavarian kings. And the fact that the Bavarian king is actually the true king of England, due to a new ruling that just happened in the last few months where England rescinded the laws. And John, you were starting off down a new rabbit hole, and I can't remember what rabbit hole you were starting off down.
Well, in order, I think we should, if we start off with this hypothesis and then check out and see with information that we gather as we go along to determine the validity of the hypothesis by putting pieces of the puzzle together, we can then turn around and go work our way back to the hypothesis and determine whether or not it's correct. The hypothesis that I have, that I've been studying, is that and some of it comes from the Bible itself, is that this demonic spirit, these powerful beings who are opponents of Jesus, intend to follow the same rules that he has laid out for to be the heir of ruler of the world very soon. But they have to follow the same rules that he's laid out. So what they have to do is have someone who is descended from the tribe of Judah. And they have to come out with the actual bloodline evidence that this new king, who is going to be the one world ruler, he's actually an imposter coming from demonic forces, but he's going to have to prove that he is has the blood of King David in his veins. Now, Jesus was of Nazareth, was descended from
I know
king
John,
David,
but
who lived around 1100 B.C.
Yeah, John, can you hold both possibilities that the New World Order may have created an imposter to bring in, but what if God put the real guy in there, and the New World Order thinks it's the imposter? Mm. Are you there? Did I lose you?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting...
I mean, I'm entertaining both concepts at the same time, because what Obama could have done is what we call a reverse Trojan. And that is that the New World Order gets him elected in some sort of Trojan horse maneuver. But in actuality, he's the Trojan horse into the New World Order.
From what you're telling me then, would you say that Obama would be the real one, or he's the Trojan horse? Which of the two would he be?
We just don't know right at the moment.
Oh.
And I'm holding out hope. I mean, Richard Hoagland actually believes that this is the real, you know, the real McCoy, that he is, you know, from a long line of these, you know, of these Lion Kings. And the Lion Kings were the legitimate, you know, the legitimate people upon the planet.
And
then the people with the white skin came, and those are the interlopers.
I see.
So anyway, as I said, I'm just holding out both possibilities.
Sure. I mean, you're doing the right thing by exploring all information and then trying to come to some sound conclusion based upon all the information that you explore without excluding anything based upon prejudice. Okay, we have Obama from the tribe of Judah, allegedly, and then we have another king, someone who many people have believed is going to be the Antichrist. We can call him the Antichrist. It's another name for this new proposed worldly king of the one world government. And that would be Prince Charles.
That's correct.
Prince Charles is going to, I think they make a big thing out of proving that they, the royal family of Britain, are descended directly from King David, just as Jesus of Nazareth was descended from King David. Somehow they're going to prove that not Charles, because if Charles is an interloper, he doesn't have the blood of Judah in him, but Diana Spencer did. Is that correct?
Right, that's correct.
Now, who has the blood of Diana Spencer?
Well, that's her two sons.
William and Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Harry may not be Charles' son. So therefore, Harry would have the blood of the true Stuart line, and he would not have the blood of the interloper. And that's why I've always thought that Harry's going to be king.
Well, even William has the blood of the Spencers. Both of the boys
do. Yes, but he also has the blood of the interlopers who held the, you know, the throne illegitimately for a number of years, maybe centuries.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's very interesting. So it could be either one of them, and they're both at that age now where, I don't know, they're both in their 20s, I think?
Yes, yes.
It's amazing how fast time has flown, right?
I
keep on thinking of them as young boys. Okay, so now they're ready to take up world rulership if this indeed is part of the plan. So then Obama may be and a sort of an opponent or a contender against them. And
well,
Obama might say, well, I represent all the Muslim nations of the world and all the colors of the world. And, you know, incidentally, Jesus was of all different colors, too. He was being in the Middle East. He had the races of all the nations, I believe, anyway. I mean, this was not in the Bible, but you can just look at his lineage, and you'll see that he had, you know, African, Middle Eastern.
And there are some who even believe that he had blood from the British Isles in him through his grandmother.
I don't know about, but certainly, I mean, symbolically, he would represent the entire human race. And in terms of, you know, genetics, it certainly would be appropriate that he would have the colors of all the people of the world in him. And maybe Obama can make that claim, too. I don't know. But anyway, I guess I'm getting off a little bit too much speculation. It's an interesting subject. I just don't know enough about it, but you've opened up a few avenues of thought.
Well,
I guess I'm sort of at a roadblock right now.
Let's go back to Sister Lucia, because that was where we got off on the tangent of the various popes. But you say there were at least two fake Sister Lucias.
That's right. And they claim that they have the photographic evidence. These Catholic, mid-level Catholic clergymen claim that they have photographic evidence. And I don't think it's secret, esoteric photographs, because there must have been published photographs of Sister Lucia, the real Sister Lucia, back in the 1930s and 1940s, you know, which when we believe that she was the real sister was still alive. So we can compare them with later photographs. It shouldn't be that hard to do. It's just that nobody's ever done it, and I wonder if the hierarchy of the Vatican have their fingers crossed, hoping that nobody digs into that can of worms. Because if they ever do, there's going to be quite a controversy over it. What happened to her, and why was she done away with? So, I believe that we can find the photographic evidence. It is true. We can just take it from there. She was killed, and then Pope Pius XII died. At the same time, Cardinal Ottaviani died. Cardinal Stritch died. They all were privy to the letter when the Pope opened it. The Pope's private secretary, Father Richard Hughes, died. I mean, it goes beyond coincidence.
It's almost as though someone feared those people would tell us the truth. Maybe they would have. And so the people...
They had to be eliminated.
Yeah. Can you imagine you being just an ordinary person and knowing about this? Would you keep your mouth shut?
I haven't been.
Well, that's my point. I don't think Sister Lucia would either. the real
No, she would not. She would not. She was very fervent about the vision. I don't know her history, but I would imagine. I know, I'm going to get on to the Sisters of Garibaldi, Spain, who came
mm-hmm.
later.
Mm-hmm.
But before I go there, Father Malachy Martin, triple doctorate, I believe. He had several doctoral degrees, and he was a scholar and confidant and advisor to several popes.
That's correct.
Malachy Martin, and he wrote the book Keys of His Blood, and incidentally, a lot of light can be cast upon this issue that we've been talking about regarding the Church, this Pope Benedict contending against the New World Order, the Illuminati, for world leadership, because Malachy Martin, before he died, mysteriously, he wrote a book called not only Keys of His Blood, but there was another one. The title goes something like the conflict for world rulership between the Vatican and secular leaders, something like that. But we could certainly...
You know, I have to tell you, I actually talked with Malachy Martin. I was given his phone number, believe it or not, by the woman who eventually took my husband away from me, because she lived in Malachy's apartment. Can you believe this?
Well, she was an agent, though, wasn't she?
Yes. Well,
Malachy Martin was probably mixed up with those intelligence people, too.
He was Vatican intelligence. And for a long time...
SIV.
This isn't known to anybody, but he had a Vatican intelligence nun posing as his wife. And then when their mission was over, she went back to her nunnery. He went back to being a priest. But, yes, he was the head of Vatican intelligence here in the United States.
Now, you've just introduced something very interesting, and it's going to be worthy of a bit of academic pursuit, because I was told, I might have told you this in our last interview, that I found out from this Italian UFO researcher.
Hold it. Save it for the other side of the break. Folks, you're listening to Rumor Mill News Radio on the Micro Effect Radio Network. We are breaking all sorts of information. And John is going to tell us what this man told him as soon as we get back here on the Micro Effect Radio Network.